We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on 790 The Ticket. Thanks again to Derek Lee for joining the show.
My God.
D. Lee was awesome. If you guys missed him, we'll bring him later this hour. He was, we found out some things about Brian McCann I didn't want to hear. Trust me. And we've also made it part of our question of today. We've decided Derek Lee, most underrated Marlin of all time. One of the most underrated for the rest of the franchises. Heat, Dolphins, Panthers, Hurricanes. I got a gentleman telling me Shane Battier, most underrated Heat player of all time. He's a great player. He's a good.
No, you're picking guys that have moments. Like Mike Miller's the same way.
Yeah, guys. Just Cody Ross. I think Cody Ross is a good Marlins nominee. Cody Ross was a really, really fun player. Was a good player for the Marlins. I got a guy saying Randy Starks and Jeremiah Bell. There's a couple of names I haven't heard in a while for the Dolphins.
By the way, Cody Ross, the last Marlin to have a 3-homer game. Stanton never did it.
Wow, is that true?
Yes.
That was against the Phillies, right?
I think it was against the Mets.
The Mets. Now I'm thinking of Mike Lowell. Mike Lowell had a three-dinger against the Mets.
But I think that was
against the Phillies.
But I think that was in Citizens Bank, too. It was a little fugazi. Cody Ross did it at pro player.
One dude says, Tim Hardaway, Keith Jackson, and Sean Taylor. I don't think you can consider Sean Taylor an underrated Hurricane. He's legendary Hurricane.
One of the greatest.
Tim Hardaway, one of the greatest. His number is in the rafters, sir. You can't be underrated and your name is going in the rafters. That doesn't make sense. Your recognition knows no higher bounds other than statue with an organization. Keith Jackson. I mean, all right. Some people just don't know the game. All right. Leroy, let's get to this. Okay. So,
all right.
Coming up after us today, you got Salty Dogs in the midday, Zaslow and Amber. You know, they're crying because
they're 80-year-old couple.
Yeah, you know, it's like you want to hear about, you know, prune juice and, you know,
Melba toast.
Yeah, a couple of Metamucils. Like, go ahead, listen to them. It's fine. It's a real hoot, that show. And so they're salty dogs. They're upset. You know, took the morning show. Blah 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 blah. All that stuff. They were upset because we did an Instagram live during fight night. And they said, you guys stole our idea. We do happy hour. All right. You guys invented Instagram live. Okay. So now they're mad because we have this list, the spite list, right? And it's a big hit. We have Petty Wednesdays. Leroy's is coming next week. And so Amber now has her own list. She's decided she wants to do lists now. So their response to us stealing Instagram Live, unbelievably, is they're stealing lists. Okay. So she made this debut segment yesterday, Amber's List. And here's what her topic was.
Top 10 reasons Tobin is annoying. 10th reason, Zaslow, is that he thinks every member of the human species connotes an animal. He thinks he's so clever. Every reference he ever makes is an animal reference.
Is that
right?
This
guy looks like this. This person looks like that. This person acts like that. Always animals. Thinks he's Rob McGill over here.
Do I do that?
Oh, there.
Do I do that, Leroy? I don't feel like I do that.
No.
I mean, you use whales, you know, but
well, here's the problem.
I'll do a whale sound any day.
Here's the problem. That when we were in the old studio, we start our show at 1.
Yep.
At 1:05, Animal Planet was on.
Oh, yes.
So, right. So we spent most of our show talking about animals.
And we know Amber Wilson, she's listening to sports radio at all times. But that's, I mean, that's not, I'm not saying people look like animals. I don't even know what the hell that means.
Right.
Now, will I throw a whale sound in every now? You bet your ass I will. You bet your ass I will. Continue with her list, Robbie. Let's see where she rolls with this.
Here we go. There's some music. The ninth reason Tobin is annoying is because he holds grudges longer than Michael Jordan. Although he claims he's no longer King Petty, he's still King Petty. The eighth reason that Tobin is annoying is he thinks he's Miami Ariel Helwani.
Oh, that's a hard call out.
The seventh reason, he overuses the boxing in method. Thinks he boxes everybody in. It doesn't even make sense.
Perfect
he
amount.
Uses it half the time. He's not boxing anybody in.
I
he's
concur.
Just yelling that he's boxing people in when he's not.
Hold on. Pause it. You're supposed to be on my side. What are you doing here?
Get boxed in. I'm all in for that.
Don't walk in the box.
About?
That's not my fault. That's not my fault that you walk in the box.
You
I'm
going to
tell you like this. When Littlefinger would go around making people feel underappreciated, Amber just spoke to my soul.
Wow. Wow. So you're falling for this nonsense?
Somebody said Amber's animal comparison is a platypus.
She got them hooks. All right, go on, Rob. First of all, by the way, I don't find any of this list insulting so far. I find it all to be
that's the funny thing.
Characteristics I enjoy, by the way.
The funniest thing is we're not going to get mad about the list.
It's like
we're like, yep. Yeah. That's
continue on, Robbie.
The reason he's annoying, Zaslow, he thinks he's Tim the Toolman Taylor. Tobin always thinks he's always doing the manual labor. He thinks he's Tim the Toolman Taylor. Fifth reason, Tobin flops more than a fish.
A reason I'm annoying is because I do manual labor? Just because why? Because Soccer Boy can't change a light bulb?
Well, here's the worst part. I'm going to stand up for you here because anytime anybody has a problem, they call Tobin. Hey, right. Tobin, my computer won't do this. What do I need to do? I can't get on.
Hold on, though. Like, honestly, the question should be asked, has a woman in the history of time ever been upset with a man being able to fix something?
I don't know.
Ever?
No.
I mean, I know she does a show with Zaslow every day, so, it may be very foreign to her of because, Zaslow will hire the person to come and build a shelf. I've actually fixed Zaslow's door before. I've gone over to his house with a toolbox to go fix a door that was off track.
Somebody goes, she just gave you a list of compliments.
No, I'm so confused by this list. Go on, Robbie. Let's continue on.
All of his takes. Just flippity floppity, flippity floppity. Fourth reason Tobin is annoying. He thinks he's Crocodile Dundee. Pretends to be like this animal expert living in the wild all the time. Like, you would think that this tiny little canal that he lives on is a vast ocean.
You know what? You're right. He makes it sound like he lives in, like, the wilderness.
He really does. The third reason Tobin is annoying, constant pot stir.
Okay. I could see that.
Never misses an opportunity to stir the pot. Second reason Tobin is
annoying. Hold on, Robbie. Pause it. I'm waiting for the thing to insult me, though, Leroy. I don't understand. These are all things I wear with a badge of honor. It's a very strange.
If you were a Boy Scout, you'd have all these patches on your.
I'd be like, yeah, I'm like a Pokemon master collecting all these badges. I'm like, I'm waiting for the place for this to be insulting or to find annoying. I find these all to be adorable and lovable things about me.
Texas are chiming in. Hey, Amber, it's Pope Petty.
Yeah, it's true. Get my title right, even though I'm not like that with LeBron anymore. All right, let's see. Maybe these last two are a whiz bang. Let's hear what she has to say.
Talks bleep about dogs for years, then gets a dog, acts like dog owner and dad of the year. Very phony. He spent years and years and years talking bleep about dogs, insulting my dogs specifically and my affection for dogs. And then he got a dog and it is all over, posting everywhere, like his dad of the year for getting his kids a dog. The number one reason.
Hold on. Leroy. First of all, if Amber's basically, she's basically like dog PETA, you know, like if whatever that level is, like I know PETA hates you owning any pets, but she's like loves dogs so much that everybody should own a dog and be best friends of a dog. Dogs are like kids. So how is it annoying that I rescue a dog? Second of all, I didn't choose the dog. The kids came home with a dog one day. It's not like I went and said, oh, good puppy. Now, my dog is adorable. I do love Sunny Bunny. She is the sweetest. The other thing is, my dog is actually cute. Have you seen Amber's dogs? I don't understand it. She and Soccer Boy are very wealthy. They have a yacht. And her dogs are mangy. Like, she has this dog. It looks like it sleeps in a cardboard box. It's so ugly. It's the ugliest thing you've ever seen. I'm serious, Leroy. Like, I don't even understand it. How a person who gives such care to four-legged canines, how she puts all her heart and soul into these animals. How is it possible that her dog is that ugly?
Hey. If I added these compliments to my dating profile, I might be slaying like baby goat.
Yeah. These are why Tobin's annoying. Fixes things around the house, not afraid of animals. Now a dog lover, great dad. I mean, what else? Yeah, Amber, were you annoyed I won the Nobel Prize? Like, what?
I got to tell you, when you sent a picture of that snake, that could have been the Amazon for all I care.
Dude, I almost got bit by that thing. I was scared.
They don't bite.
I don't know. How did I know? People gave me 9 different species for that thing.
That's what you did to me. When I sent you a picture of the snake, you go, get away.
Bro, you gave the grainiest Bigfoot picture of a snake I've ever seen in my life.
And guess what the first thing you went to? Stay away. It looks poisonous.
What's the number one reason, Robbie, Amber finds me annoying?
That Tobin is annoying. He acts like your friend, and then he steals the morning show from you.
Well, I mean, steals. I mean, I was hired. I don't know what to tell you.
Wait. Somebody said Amber's list is the reasons I listen to this show.
What a great list. Can Amber do PR for us?
Right. Wow. I think this took a turn for the worse. Like, wow. She made up a list. You didn't dispute one.
I love it. What a fantastic list.
Oh, my goodness.
The only thing
she's unfamiliar with your work.
The only thing in
this. She didn't even hit a hot button.
Nope. Not even a whisper. Anyway, let's get the headlines, Robbie. What do we got, man?
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Which is brought to you by the Ryan Fuels Downstairs Convenience Store. Truly steps beyond convenient. So I ask this question to both of you gentlemen, since you guys have been, you know, working from home for the past couple months. So there's a survey that has come out that says 2 of 3 people working from home can't remember the last time they wore pants.
Dude, I'll tell you one thing. I'm wearing pants today. I'm wearing jeans. And it's the first time I've worn jeans in a long time.
I don't wear jeans. And I have to show up to the building.
I just realized I was out of like lazy clothes and my laundry. And I have to do some laundry because my wife is a little bit tired of it stacking up. So I got to go. I got to go do my gym clothes, basically, which is what I've been wearing this entire time. So I threw on some jeans today. Got to tell you, it feels pretty good. I feel like a new man, Leroy.
All right. All right.
What else you got, Robbie?
Jeans is a borderline on my spite list. I haven't worn jeans in like 10
wow,
years.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I don't own a pair of jeans.
So you basically just said, in so many words, you don't go out into public.
No, I have pants. I have slacks. My go to. I used to have camo long pants back in the day. That was my going out pants. Cargo shorts. No, I mean, I mean, jeans are not really that much of a, you know, I don't wear jeans. I never liked them. I haven't worn jeans in like 10 years.
What about jorts?
No, I don't own jorts. Don't own jorts.
No. Oh, man, first takes coming with the heaters today, boys.
Oh.
Poll question, is LeBron a top five player all time?
Jeez.
Taking the bait.
Oh, man.
I got to tell you, my list would only be one of Amber.
Yep.
Wink
and you were there for it.
Yep.
Orders a lettuce wedge, waits for you to order wings, and then eat up all your wings.
Yeah, she's a food thief. She's a junk food vulture is what she is.
Yep.
You know? Acts like, oh, I will not eat this carbohydrate. And then just steals it with her little hook pinky. Steals her chicken wing.
The hook pinky. Gotta tell you, still have not seen it.
Well, consider yourself lucky.
Dude, I got some busted ass feet. I can't be making fun of people's digits.
What else you got, Robbie?
So you guys explain this. So Vince McMahon is planning to buy out the XFL out of bankruptcy. He's about to buy out his own bankrupt company.
Apparently so. He
had investors.
Right.
So
now he's coming in, he's swooping in and taking the investment.
That would suck. Imagine you invested the money, you lose all your money, and then the guy that got you to invest pays all the money and owns the whole company.
Well, what about the whole idea about how do we deal with the fact that Oliver Luck is getting sued is suing because he got fired for cause of the XFL. If there's going to be an XFL again, doesn't he get his job back?
Oh, no. That ship has sailed.
Damage is done, my friend?
Yep. Hmm. Yep. But it does have the makings of who's going to want that job.
Yeah, because he's a crazy person.
That's the one thing you have to realize is that eventually, if you treat enough people poorly like that, the word gets around and nobody wants to work for you.
Yeah, I don't know. That's gonna have to be one of those things. He might have to hire like good old JR to be the commish for the XFL. That's right, Jim. As Jim knows, you have to go get your quarterback. It's not optional. You go and get it, no matter what it takes. Maybe Cam Newton will end up in the XFL. You think they give him a big fat contract? Offer him that?
Can they give him a big fat contract?
I don't know.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, if he's saving all this money from getting the company on the cheap, maybe.
Huh?
Well, man, I tell you what, I'm surprised Cam is not going to get that Jay Cutler deal.
Me too. It's probably going to take. It's going to have. He's probably smart winning out. Like, just wait till somebody gets injured.
Well, by the way, speaking of the subject, Washington is now the favorite for the team that Cam Newton's going to play for Week One. The Redskins.
Here's the problem with that though, and I know this isn't going to like. You want to hold out so you can get the most money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you also want to be able to go to a situation where you can have success so you can get paid. So if you wait until week one or week two, and then somebody brings you in, say, for $15 million, right? Without being there at all and just picking up a system, how much success are you actually going to have so that you can parlay that into a bigger contract?
I don't know, man.
It's not like basketball. Basketball, you can go score anywhere.
It doesn't even feel like there's a hint of where he'll go. Like, Ron Rivera, his former coach, obviously makes sense. But because Jacksonville looks like they're going to tank and it doesn't feel like he fits the Patriots' systematic ways, I really don't know what the good home for him is. And he's, I know he's banged up, but he's been a very, very good player his entire career.
Dude, how about this one? Leroy, would you believe my wife hasn't seen my feet from the day I met her in 1997?
What?
You know how I look at that?
What?
That means my man is bringing more to the table. She never got down to the feet. I'm just telling you. I'm like, if I have all this body and you go, ooh, you got pretty feet, I'm out.
She's no Chris Perkins.
You ain't paying attention to the most important parts.
All right. 15 minutes of heat. If you guys missed it, a good argument and a dumb argument. We'll get to that next.
15 minutes.
Okay, 15 minutes of heat here for you on the ticket, Tobin and Leroy. If you guys missed earlier in the show, Derek Lee, he joined the program. He was fantastic. So if you missed that, we'll have that for you in about 15 minutes. But a little heat talk here for you. We found out that the NBA is taking more steps to get closer to return, which is awesome news. Woj reporting yesterday that they are going to issue guidelines around June 1st. It's going to allow franchises to start recalling players who've left their markets to return as a first step towards a ramp up to the season's resumption. For example, like Jimmy Butler, he's currently in Southern California working out. Now, he's working out like a monster on Instagram. Not a fan of the shirts working out. Why would you if you look like that? And so he's still working out, but they want to get everybody, of course, back in town and get ready for the season and whatnot. So that's where things stand. Disney World yesterday, they reportedly are getting ready to host the NBA. They're apparently the clear frontrunner to host NBA games. So that's really cool. A lot of seeming like we have a lot more cohesiveness getting basketball back than we do with baseball, which seems like a complete bleep show.
Well, because with baseball, you still got to work out the money stuff.
Yep. Yep. And money stuff that they don't want to happen, which is, a salary cap, which they haven't had, and they want to keep it that way. A couple people made some arguments on people's behalves. Now, we'll get to this first. So Austin Rivers, he is a son of Doc Rivers, sharpshooter. Did he fight Chris Paul? Austin Rivers? Didn't they, were they teammates? Who the hell was fighting Chris Paul?
They were teammates in L.A.
Yeah, but I think he fought him when he was at Houston, when Austin Rivers was
with Houston, right. They had the secret tunnel, right. Oh. So Austin Rivers is doing a podcast with Seth Curry, the other Curry, and he did not like Dwayne Wade's placement on the all-time NBA list, the top 74, which, of course, bred our top 74 spite list. He did not like Dwayne Wade's placement at number 26, and so here was Austin Rivers saying Dwayne Wade should have been much higher.
This list was clearly made by guys who didn't make their JV basketball team. You have Dwayne Wade, 26 of all time. Kawhi Leonard's a great player. He's 25.
Yeah, Dwayne a top three shooting guard of all time.
The disrespect is just like, and then Giannis is 27. There's no way Dwayne Wade should be slotted one slot in front of Giannis. He's just done too much. Giannis hasn't yet. I'm sure he will, and this list will change 5 years from now. But like Dwayne Wade should be somewhere around the top 10, either in the top 10 or around there, top 15, something like that. I do think players should make this list. I think ex-players should make this list. I would love to hear from whatever former NBA player. I wish that they did a panel together and made this list.
Now, look, Austin Rivers, I get it. You know, it's the same thing with the players wanting to have their own awards. They don't like that the media members vote for the awards. They think they're a bunch of nerds and squares. Why are they picking basketball? You know, maybe you prefer Leroy Horde to pick your all pro team. Maybe you prefer John Clayton. I don't know. The only problem is this argument from Austin Rivers, whether you think it's right or wrong. Now, I happen to like his argument because he's having Dwayne Wade higher. That's just me. But the only problem is this comes the same day as you have a former player make one of the dumbest arguments on behalf of player placement in the history of basketball, and that guy is pants pooper Paul Pierce.
Bill Russell built up the organization in Boston. Should get way more credit than we give him. And a lot of times he gets left out of the conversation. So in saying that, Kareem, look at the names that I said. Kareem, Magic, Jordan, Tim Duncan, Kobe, Bird. These guys are all top 10 players who would either help build up their organization or continue the tradition.
And
from LeBron, he went and put together a team in Miami.
I think there's
he came back to Cleveland to put that team together.
Jason's getting so frustrated. Lakers,
where a tradition has already been made, and we don't know, you know, that's still to be continued. So in saying that, that's my argument.
Organization, it goes both ways, man. It ain't just like one player is the only thing that makes it happen. LeBron James wasn't surrounded by other great players. He had to go to a first-class organization in Miami to actually figure out what the standard of excellence was with Pat Riley and D. Wade and Mickey Arison. Come on, man.
Who are you blaming this on? Who are you blaming this on?
I'm not blaming it on anything. I'm saying you don't need to make your organization great in order to be one of the greatest of all time. I don't have an obligation.
He wasn't the greatest of all time. I did not
you
say
just said
he
wasn't. He's not top five on your ring. That's the way this whole thing
top five. You want to hear my top five? You want to hear it again? Sure. You want to hear it again? Jordan.
Sure, let me know.
Dog is outraged.
Kareem. Russell. And you know who the fourth one is? Magic.
Who's the fifth?
And now you know who's in my top five?
I'm not going to say nothing right now.
Kobe Bryant.
Come on.
That's my top five. Argue with it.
See, like, this is the thing, though. Like, you know, I didn't want to fall for his trap, but I did. Hook, line, sinker, Leroy. Because I didn't think it was going to be that stupid. I didn't think, like, all right, he's going to be petty. You know, like, I wish it was just Paul Pierce saying, LeBron's not a top player. Why, Paul? Because I don't like him. I'm like, all right, I respect it. But then he's like, because LeBron didn't build a franchise and Kareem and Magic and Bill Russell did. Like, huh? The dog thinks you're stupid. For example, here's a poll today, Leroy. First take, they're coming with the heaters. Is LeBron a top five player of all time? All right. Now, you know, ESPN, it's going to have its fill of LeBron haters. This has already 18,000 votes in the matter of 20 minutes. 87% of people say yes. 87%. Right. Like,
it's silly talk.
It's silly talk. Like, I mean, if this is
think
a,
about
this.
Thing. LeBron is a better Magic.
Yeah. It's like, you know what the topic should be on First Take today? If this is a topic on First Take today, is LeBron a top five player of all time? They both say yes and move on.
Yep.
Is there going to be a debate about this?
Hey, Paul Pierce just texted in. LeBron's not top five. He's barely top 10.
All right, man. Okay. All right. Come on, dude. Paul, you know what? You know what's a better debate? Is Paul Pierce top five saltiest bastard of all time?
Like, I mean, he makes it sound like they had to get together in Miami. What the hell you think they did in Boston?
Right. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you stuck it out with Tippy Toe 3. My bad. You guys really slugged it out together. Oh, no, wait. He went and won a championship in Miami, Paul. Sorry. No. Escaped my mind.
No, wait. No. They went and got Kevin Garnett, who at the time was a top five player.
Right.
Ray Allen, who y'all had his...
Y'all got put together like Voltron. Like, just and with utter collusion because the GMs were best friends. Like, right. What are we talking about here?
Right.
Not a top five player of all time. Christ almighty, Paul. But why is he still on top? He's so lucky Dwayne Wade decided to work at Turner.
Is he on that list?
A list of what?
74.
All-time players?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he was.
Okay. Good.
I don't think he was. If he was, it must have been low.
Even as a Boston guy, he has three Lakers on the in the top five.
Doesn't even make sense. He's like, you got to have Paul Pierce, you got to have Bill Russell for establishing the culture. It's like, all right, wait, man.
And so, no mention of Will Chamberlain.
Nope.
Because, okay, Bill Russell won more, right? But Will Chamberlain was the Shaq of his day.
I'm trying to see if he's on this list. I've seen a lot of Celtics. None of them Paul Pierce, by the way. None of them Paul Pierce. Ray Allen.
Oh, somebody said...
Oh, he was on the list. 54 above Ray Allen. Stupid.
Wait. My man texts back. MJ, Wilt, Kobe, Shaq, and Duncan. See, for me, Kobe's not top five.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, he's one of the... greatest scorers to ever play the game. But as far as top guys, and here's what moves LeBron up for me. Is that 2000, is it 7 or 8? 2007.
Championship?
Yeah.
2008.
2008. That team that he took to the finals.
Oh, you're talking about the Clippers. Sorry, that was 2007.
Right. That team that he took to the NBA finals. Come on. Come on. You talk about putting the team on your shoulders. Today, that wouldn't get you out of the first round if it gets you to the playoffs.
Unbelievable. All right. If you guys missed it, Derek Lee joined us earlier in the show today. He was awesome. Loved hearing from D. Lee. What we decided, most underrated Marlin of all time. He was absolutely fantastic. We talked pickles. We talked baseball. We talked Brian McCann. I did not like that very much. But he was great. He was a fantastic guest. So if you guys missed it, champion first baseman from the Florida Marlins, Derek Lee. He's next. Very excited. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Now, the Marlins tomorrow, Leroy, they are going to be hosting a question and answer, Q&A, they like to call it, Leroy, with champion first baseman Derek Lee, one of my all-time favorites. They're doing that today at 12:30 p.m. You head over to marlins.com/rewards. You sign up for their home run rewards program to get access. It's going to offer fans exclusive access to prizes while we wait for baseball to return, which we are very eager. But we'll talk to the man himself, D. Lee, Derek Lee, champion 2003. And I'm not just pulling your leg, man. One of my favorites. I got two guys where like that. From like 99 to 05, that's like my Marlins haven. But I would do Cliff Floyd, when I would play, I would be like the Cliff Floyd batting box scrape. And then I got the D-Lee bat waggle down to get going. So like, this is a big thrill for me. We're happy to have you, man. Thanks for giving us some time.
I appreciate that. Good to be on with you guys.
So it's this is kind of cool. How much we just had the Last Dance that went down. Michael Jordan, everybody was thrilled for that. Can you give us, if you had to do a Last Dance for the Marlins, your championship year, the story you would love to tell to make everybody laugh and take them into the clubhouse? What would be the one that immediately pops into your mind from that year?
Man, that's a big time question right there. Right out the gate, I like it. Man, if I had to pick a story from that season.
Is it Naked Mike Redmond?
I mean, that guy, it became so common, you know, for us, that was an every other day deal with that guy. But that team had a lot of characters. But I think you got to go right to the being down 3-1 against the Cubs, don't you?
Oh, man, 100%.
I mean, you got to go right there, I think, and just our team never even really feeling like we're out of it. Because if you go back to that season, I think we were 10 games under 500 at one point or something crazy, you know, nowhere in the running for the playoffs and just really turned it around. But I would say just to that Cubs series, maybe even the Bartman play, as cliche as that sounds, just our, you know, we were done at that point and turned it around.
Were you like
– they got on Bartman, but they don't remember the shortstop booting the ball. He got a free pass.
100%. I mean, Bartman did what we all would have did if we were sitting right there, right?
Right, of course.
The ball's coming down your head, you're going to try to catch it.
Was it weird for you going there? Because you were awesome for the Cubs, but like you're coming in with this heartbreaking all-time moment in their history. And here comes Derek Lee to Chicago, champion of the Marlins that broke their heart. Was that weird at all?
It was. And you know what? If you remember that year, I got traded for Hesop Choi. And Hesop Choi was killing it in April. I mean, you got to look up his stats that April. He had a very good start. And I had a exact opposite. It's one of my typical slow starts. So I would be coming to the plate and the whole stadium would be chanting, "He Sop Choi."
What?
He
Oh, man.
So my first month in Chicago was a little bit rough, but I guess I grew on them a little bit.
That's those Midwestern fans, man. They're all in.
They are all in, you know. They're going to let you know how they feel. But that was a fun thing about Chicago. You know, they were true baseball fans, and, you know, they were passionate about the Cubs.
So we were talking about this on our show pretty recently, but we were harkening back to those days of your infield. And we brought up the fact, and we didn't even look up the numbers, but the Marlins fans were delighted by hearing us talk about Righty Castillo Day. Luis Castillo, when he came up righty, was he like a superhero? Because it felt like when he was coming up and it was a right-handed hitting Luis Castillo day, he felt like a different kind of monster from like his little lefty squatting position where he was punching it all over the place.
He was like two different hitters. I mean, he was a good hitter left-handed, but you're right. He's just trying to slap it through the hole on the left side and beat a ground ball out. Right-handed, you should see his right-handed batting practice. I mean, this guy has power right-handed, like legitimate batting practice power. He must have grew up right-handed.
Why was he batting left-handed then? I want that power all the time.
I think somebody, you know, he was so fast. Somebody told him, get on the left side and hit ground balls and beat it out. it's a different day then. No, it, you know, now you can't do that now. You got to get the launch angle.
Yeah, that's like nobody would be into that these days. For your guys' perspective, you know, the Mons are going through a lot of what you guys did in those early days. Like, you were in the struggle of like 98. What were those days like? And did it, you know, looking back on it, when you guys actually got to the top, like, did it feel all worth it? Because I mean, you guys, you Alex Gonzalez, Luis Castillo, Mike Lowell, especially, like, that core of you guys were there for everything and then got all the way to the top. That had to be just such a crazy ride for all of you guys.
I mean, it really was. You know, we had some rough seasons. Losing 100 games is something I don't wish on anyone. You know, that makes for a long season. So to kind of come from where we came from as a group and, you know, go from losing 100 games to winning a World Series, I mean, that's that's unheard of, really, with the same group. I know we brought in Pudge, but we had draft picks coming in, Jontrell Willis call up, Miguel Cabrera. So we kind of did it as an organization built from the bottom to the top. And, you know, that's still one of my biggest regrets, that team did not have a chance to come back as a group in 2004 and, you know, give it another run.
Not to mention, you guys were, like you said, 10 games below 500. So it didn't even start off great.
I mean, it started off bad. I don't know the exact record, but I know it was bad early on. I mean, we changed managers. You don't change managers unless you get off to the bad start.
You guys, like, here we go again? Like, what sparked it to where you guys, because, you know, you can start off bad, but then you go in that run and everything starts working. Was it like a gradual thing or just overnight, boom, different team?
It was gradual. I think, you know, you hate to pin it all on the manager, but I think it was a wake up call for us.
Right.
You know, Jack came in and we knew we were a good team. Once we brought in Pudge and with our pitching and like you said, with our defense, we knew we were a good team. We just got out of the gates bad and we needed that kind of wake up call. And it let us know, you know, hey, we're bringing a new manager because we feel like this team can do something. So let's get it going.
Now, you got traded to the Atlanta Braves in 2010. Do they have initiation of inflicting the unwritten rules of baseball? Because they are very hoity-toity, my friend. I do not care for the Atlanta Braves. I don't like them. And they are the enforcers of the unwritten rules in baseball. Like, does Brian McCann walk in with a candle and like say, you must swear these are the unwritten rules of baseball that you must follow, Derek?
You know what's funny is I had that thought going in there. One of the things I didn't like about the Braves, I saw them on the road. They always had to wear slacks with like a collared shirt on the road. And I just, you know, I didn't like that. But when I got there, I'm going to tell you, my 2 months in Atlanta, it was obvious why they are in the playoffs every single year and won that division because of the way Bobby ran that clubhouse. It was probably the most enjoyable 2 months. I was totally beat up. I had basically a broke thumb and broke rib. But the clubhouse atmosphere and the way they went about their business, unreal. I just enjoyed those 2 months
tremendously. But Brian McCann's got to calm down though, right?
B-Mac is one of my favorite teammates. I was only with him two months. I'm telling you, man, this guy is – I loved him as a teammate. Great guy.
I'm going to edit this out, Leroy.
Sorry.
I don't want that mythology. I don't want to hear that Brian McCann is a good guy.
I'm telling you, this guy's unreal. David Ross was over there. It was just a good bunch of guys over there.
Is that
– one thing I can never figure out about baseball, and this is from a football guy, okay? If – you throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, and I hit it 400 feet, I'm sorry. Like, if the pitcher gets a big strikeout, don't he start gyrating and fist bumping and all that? Where's the unwritten rule that you can't pimp your walkout a little bit? That's crazy.
It's tired. I mean, I'm glad these kids now are finally starting to show – you know, show some emotion. Yeah, I mean, as a fan, that's what I like to see. But you're right. These unwritten rules, they lasted so long. I don't even know where they came from, how they started. But it was definitely – there were certain things you did and did not do on the baseball field. You know, it was like they were written rules, not unwritten. But you're right. They're tired and they're old and it's time for them to be gone.
As soon as you hit a home run, they start timing it too slow.
Right. You know, it got a little bit overboard. You know, as a fan, you want to see these guys out there showing their personality, have some fun.
About their success. It's not right. Locking on the guy.
Exactly. Right. Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right.
Do you, is there any part, like, are you watching what's going on right now with baseball? Does any of it intrigue you with, I guess, the players and the owners? Because it seems very weird. Like, we all want to see baseball get back, but I can understand how it's a tough one because you got to think about, you know, the future of the game and all that type of stuff when there's a lot of young guys who just kind of want to get on with their careers. It's got to be a weird thing as a baseball player to deal with.
Yeah, you know, it's unprecedented times right now. So, you know, the players, I'm sure they want to get back on the field, but the concessions they make now, you know, have effects down the line. So I think that's the thing that our association does such a great job with. You know, they're not only thinking about current players, past players, they're thinking about future players. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into these negotiations that fans may not really consider, but I'm sure they'll come to a resolution and the Players Association will do a good job of taking care of the players.
Was there any of that stuff when you were playing? Like, did you think about negotiations, associations, and all that type of stuff? Or did you just let the association handle when you were in career? Like, do you think about that stuff a lot more now when you're done with it and realize that stuff? And when you're a player, if you're just in the midst of it, do you just try and go about it because you want to do well with your career?
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't pay as much attention as I should have while I was playing. I do pay more attention now. You know, you have your player rep. They'll come back and kind of give you the lowdown of what's going on. But I do think it's important for the players that are playing out, you know, be informed, be involved, because, you know, these decisions, you may not think so while you're playing. Like you said, you're just kind of worried about going out and not going 0-for-4, but these decisions and negotiations that are going on do have a huge impact on your career, and it's worth taking the time to be informed about it.
Before we get Derek Lee out of here, big debate on our show. You a pickle guy?
What's that?
You a pickle guy? You like pickles? Pickles, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I love pickles. I love pickles.
Hey, I'm starting to, these guys are,
Can I get the backstory about this question though?
Yeah, our producer, we have a thing on our show called the Spite List, which is it's 74 things that just bug you. And I think, what did he have, Leroy? Do you remember what Robbie had pickles at? Was it like top 10?
He's like top 5.
He had like pickles, top like, 5.
He hates pickles. He said it ruins his sandwich. He likes Cubans. Pickle ruins it. I'm telling you, this normally takes like 2 seconds. It took almost an hour for him to give because he stopped on pickles.
Yep. He is, and I'm with him. I'm not a fan of the pickle either by any means, but hey.
I'm going to say that might be because I like growing up, everything was pickled, right?
Everything.
And so like, yeah, I had to have it. And so I think that might be kind of on the lines of a black and white thing.
Maybe. I don't know.
No,
it might
I'm
be.
Serious.
You might be right.
I'm serious. Because
you might be right.
I'm from New Orleans. They pickled everything.
Everything.
Everything. Right. My dad was from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. They tried to pickle everything.
Everything.
So, and so I always made the assumption that pickles came on hamburgers and sandwiches and stuff like that. When I got to school in Michigan, they would ask, what? Yeah. It's just like sweet tea.
Right.
I thought that's the only way it came.
Right.
Well, sweet tea is delicious.
I'm a pickle guy all the way.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Don't put me on the Brian McCann list.
No, but wait, we had two lists. Brian McCann was on both of them.
Hey, you got to bring him on the show. He'll change your mind.
There's no way that's ever going to happen. I can promise you.
Hey, Derek, you know you have that one guy in your career that there ain't nothing he can do. I had the one guy in my career.
Yeah.
Everybody knows a guy, Bill Romanowski. No matter what,
I think he's on a lot of lists.
but no matter what, you could tell me he's a great guy, great father, great family guy.
You're not hearing it.
Don't care.
Not hearing it. I hear
that's
you.
How he is with Brian McCain.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That
doesn't help.
Where to start?
One, the Atlanta Braves. That's one. And then just the one that really got to me was when Jose Fernandez hit a Jimmy Jack against them after one guy pimped out a home run against Jose. And he starts chastising Jose. Jose was a rookie at the time. He starts chastising rookie as he gets to home plate. I'm like, what are you doing? And then the problem was your guy Redmond, he was like brothers in arms with the catcher. He goes, I agree with him. Rookie's gotta show respect. I was like, what? This was awesome.
So that's it.
After that, that was a wrap.
That was it.
And that's a wrap. There's nothing you can say. Like, I'm listening to you talk about Brian McCann. He's probably a great teammate.
Oh, probably good.
Give a lot of advice. Toby's like, I don't want to hear it.
You guys can check out Derek Lee today, 12:30 p.m. He's going to be a Q&A with the Marlins Home Run Rewards members. Go check it out, marlins.com/rewards. Sign up for the Home Run Rewards program. Gain access. Home Run Rewards offers fans exclusive access to prizes while we wait for baseball to return. Derek Lee, this was a thrill. Thanks for the time, my friend. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, enjoyed the time. Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.